Because you don't have to have a certain number of people before you come on and holler at us, you know, and visit with us. And that we're forever grateful. Thank you, Lord Jesus. He is magnificent. Let's, amen. Glory be to God. I have like a million things going on in my mind. But we are, I believe, going to continue the series on why are people so crazy? What a title. Why are people so crazy? April Lou, we're going to take that first song out of rotation. Forever. I don't know, my spirit was disturbed this morning. We've sung it many a time, but that line about the battle in the grave and all that, that's now bothering me more and more. And so any song we got to sing, they got to have an explanation or try to, we just going to just leave it alone. So, because the other two songs are just so pure theology, there's just great joy in this, in singing those songs freely. So, but we'll take forever out of rotation, at least to further notice. In Jesus' name. Also, Word of Life, I just want to encourage you to develop thinking skills more and more. You say, well, that's an odd thing to say. But, you know, the Lord has been really, probably the last 5 or 6 years talking about thinking, you know, how to think, how to think. Mm-hmm. Do you realize that we're not taught how to think? Let that just marinate us right there. There's no class in school, elementary, junior high, high school, that teaches you how to think. So we just think. Whatever comes in, you know, we kind of like, we decide what we're going to believe because we don't know what's really true. I'm talking about if you're not having been brought up in the Word of God, and even if you're young, you don't really know and understand the Word of God, so you're kind of like arbitrarily receiving this and that and the other, and we're really as a race, human race, we really don't know and understand how to think, how to decipher and discern information. There's so much of it out there. It's like I'm just seeing as a fresh and a new. Even though we talked about it, but there's so much information out there that's on purpose. That's by design. And if anyone doesn't know how to think, it's like I'm wanna, even though I've kind of taught a series on that, which was a developing a biblical worldview. That's what all that was about. You can repackage that and say how to think biblically. And reteach that same thing and remind it. A lot of what we're seeing isn't what really, it's a lot of misinformation out there. And unless you do the digging, which is what the Word of God, if the Word of God isn't your foundational base, then you're going to be in trouble. Because things are going to sound true. They're going to sound good on the surface. And unfortunately, we let them stay on the surface. We accept it for what it is. On the surface, that's where we're getting in. That's where we want to change. Amen. Not receiving things because they sound good on the surface. But if you're going to accept what was said, then I beg of you, do some digging.
Amen.
That's all I'm asking. If you use that right there as a foundation, you can listen to the news, you can read anything, whatever. You can do whatever you want to do. As long as whatever you allow into your thinking and into your brain, you just do some digging behind the scenes. Check out the polls when they say, oh, 60% of Americans do this, or just do all the background digging. Learn how to think biblically. And I tell you what, you'll be a whole lot more at peace than worrying about, whoa, really? Is that? He's still Lord. Amen. The glory of God the Father. He's still Lord to the glory of God the Father. Learning how to think biblically. It's almost incredible when you begin to understand that what it'll force you to do is to trust the Lord more. Because there is no one that you can really trust outside of the Lord God Almighty when it comes to somebody giving you some type of information. Even the world knows, like when a doctor gives you, what they tell you to do, get a second opinion, get a third opinion, because this dude may not know what he's talking about. Even the world know that. We need to always get a second opinion. Whatever you hear, let that second opinion be your first go-to. The Word of God. Amen. Why are people so crazy? I think I'm being led to like go back and review it again, because I know that we hear things and we hear it in the, this is our third installment on this, but the first installment, I felt that I gave like too many definitions maybe or something, you know? So I want to kind of pare that down a little bit and hopefully we'll understand. I also am thankful for, you know, as some conversations have gone on at, between Word of Lifers, how this series is my cousin acted crazy. But you know, we know why people are so crazy. You know, you're thinking that through. And that has wrote, this series has arisen in my thinking many a time when I'm led to ask that question. I'm like, yeah, but we understand why. The brain is broken. The mind is gone. It's not working properly. So let's go back to our foundation text of 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. All of your thinking and your understanding, it should start at the Word of God and then kind of go out from there.
Amen.
Yeah. There are many, many agendas out there. Many, many agendas. Not only in politics, but through government, and unfortunately, even into the pulpit, there are agendas out there. Yeah, they're not, God is not, it's not for God's glory. Yeah, agenda is a very disturbing concept, because it's, I want what I want at my own, at everybody else's expense, and I really don't care about you. And the thing about it is that the person with the agenda, or the government, or the entity with the agenda is fronting like they care all about you and only about you, when in actuality they care nothing about you. That's what I love. And when you understand those things, you hang on to scriptures like, he's a friend who sticketh closer than a brother. Because when he says, I love you and I care about you and I died for you, those are facts that, and they are undisputed. You can hang on to him. Amen. We can cling to the cross. We can cling to the love of God, because what shall separate us from the love of God? Nothing at, no height, no depth, angels, demons, Amen. Things present, things to come. Nothing will separate us from the love of Christ. Everything he says is true. Everything he says is true. For God, who cannot lie, said it. He's promised us. That's what you hold on. Put no trust and no faith in mankind. And I'm saying that, you say, well, Lord, I pray we all examine ourselves, that when, because there are vestiges in our lives we're still trusting man, even that we might even know or realize. That's the point. That's right there. May not realize it. But I believe the Lord wants us to examine our lives closely. Who are we trusting other than God? Examine yourself. Think it through. Investigate. Things that make an impression on you. Investigate. And that wasn't straight from the Word. Now there's truth out there that's sort of, say, outside of the Bible, in a sense of data and things of that nature. You know, things, people go do their studies and they come up with data and so forth. But the point is, put your trust in the Word of God, and then let that be the focal point of how let that resonate through everything else. Because there is data and there are facts and things that actually that the Word of God corroborates, if you will. Think it through. Be thinking Christians. Think biblically. Think biblically. Think scripturally. Don't think emotionally. Don't think ethnically. Don't think culturally. That's where we get in trouble, and that's what the beginning of the, that's what we spoke about at the beginning of our supreme identity. We think ethnically way too often. We think culturally way too often. We think emotionally way too often. If it hits our emotion, now we just kind of run with it. Well, yeah, that sounds right to me. The Lord is challenging us, let that day be over. Don't run with your emotions. Take your time, do your investigation. Now, if you're not going to do that, my advice to you as your pastor is then don't watch the news. Don't read those Wall Street or listen to NPR or whatever things of that nature. But if you're going to do your investigation, you can say anything. Do the homework. Matter of fact, let's be Berean in everything we do. The Word of God and everything else. Having said that, for the third opening, let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. Is everyone there? But understand this. Look at what the Apostle Paul, under the divine auspices of the Holy Spirit, is telling this young pastor, the church in Ephesus, Timothy. He said, but understand this. Understand, is that a thinking word? Yeah. It most certainly is. If you need to understand something, understand this. And that's like, wow, that's right in the flow. Whatever you, I don't understand this. I don't understand this and this. I don't understand why this is happening. Well, understand this. The Word of God. And what is that? That in the last days there will come times of difficulty, perilous, dangerous times. The Amplified says, difficult to bear, hard to endure. Understand that. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless. That's the word for without natural affection. I think that's the one. Toward family and so forth. Unappeasable, meaning you can't go and make covenant with them because they'll break the covenant. I think King James has covenant breakers. Slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. It's something that the Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul, spoke on the state of man. Three verses with all of those adjectives and descriptions. Just in, for people will be sinners. He didn't say that. He went through and broke it down for a reason. Remember I tell you, whenever there's lists, look at those lists carefully. And even the order has meaning. I know you've heard this probably 100 times here, even at Word of Life. But the first thing on that list is for lovers of self. And that's at the root of everything else in all of those next three verses, 2.5 verses. Because you're selfish, you love money. Because you're selfish, you're proud, you're arrogant, you're heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control. Meaning because you love self, you're without self-control. It means I'm going to do whatever I want to do and I don't care about nothing else. We live in a scary world. The world is a very dangerous place. I remember the first time I heard that, I like, well, you know, no, that's the grace of God that nobody's not bursting through the doors and we're not just seeing people getting murdered all out and just out the window. That's the grace of God. It's a very dangerous place. There are many, many people who left their homes yesterday that did not return this morning. Many, many, many. And we don't know what all happened during the night all over the world. The cover of darkness. It's a dangerous place. You got concrete falling from bridges. You mind your own business. Stray bullets hitting on somebody way over there. It's a dangerous place. Taking the folks from, taking the line from Staple Singers, said, ain't nobody worried, no face them lying to the races. It's folks lying, cheating, stealing while smiling in our faces. We live in a very dangerous, but we understand why. So there we go. We understand why. We understand it. The word of God just told us. People are lovers of self. Then we just say people have an agenda. What is an agenda? One that suits the person. That's what's at the root of it. I'm so thankful for the word of God. We don't wonder. We just pray harder and just cling to the Lord tighter. I ain't trusting nobody but you, Lord. I'm hanging to you. I joke about my wife having the gift of suspicion, but I ain't too far behind her. Cause man, especially if you claim to be a Christian, I pray for me, maybe I should, but I don't trust. I gotta see some things. But then should I trust by an external statement from somebody? No, and neither should you. Jesus said by their fruit, not their words. Yeah, we need to see something. Remember, the proof of redemption, salvation, being regenerated and born again is in the transformation of that person's life. Not their words, not their confessions, none of that, not their prayer life. It's the, or praise life even, it's the transformation, the clear transformation of their life taking place. We talk about the Mack truck theory or the Mack truck parable. When a person gets hit by a Mack truck, you don't wonder if they got hit by a Mack truck. You can clearly see the results. I know that's a little brutal there, but when you run into the Mack truck of God Almighty and the blood of Jesus, you ought to clearly see that person's life. Now, this letter here, and this part of the letter from the Apostle Paul to Timothy, in its context here in chapter 3, is really talking about Christians, because verse 5 says, having the appearance of godliness, comma, but denying its power, avoid such people. He's saying so-called Christians are living like this. Externally, they look like Christians. They appear godly, but they're denying his power. He said, avoid such people. You read this list, and you can't help but ask the question, why are people so crazy, so brutal, so without self-control? So not loving good. And that's something. Boy, you mentioned that you're a Christian today and you better duck. Which is good. I'm glad. I've said that for the last 2 or 3 years. Good, because it's going to remove all the fake. You do not associate yourself with Christianity unless you say right away, yes, but I believe in abortion. I believe in same-sex marriage. You got to say that. You better say that right after that. And then you'll be proven more than likely to not be a Christian. Do not be intimidated by this world. We went over examples. Cain killed Abel. Noah, his daughters planning to get their father drunk and did and have sex with him. Twisted reasoning because the mind is broken, thinking that the race was going to, that their lineage was going to end.
That was Lot.
Lot, I'm sorry. Yeah. Thank you. David and Bathsheba, Amnon violating his sister's half-sister Tamar, Herod beheading John the Baptist, Judas, betrayal of the Lord Jesus Christ for the price of a slave. I don't know, I think I've told you that, or if you read it, 30 pieces of silver was the price to purchase a slave. Jesus was betrayed for the price of a slave. Why are people so crazy? That was crazy. Apostle Paul was murdered. Why was he murdered? Because they hated him. He spoke the truth. Stephen was stoned. Why? Because they murdered him, because he spoke the truth. Jesus was killed. Murdered. Tortured. Murdered. He just spoke the truth. Nero, crazy. Hitler, Manson, abortion, all because of sin. Why take your time and go through this? Because we, as children of God, we still sin. So here's a connection. You see how ugly that is, and we tend to say, well, that's them. I'm not Nero. I would have never killed my brother if I was Cain, and I wouldn't have did this. I'm not selling kids into slavery. I don't believe in abortion. So I'm a, yeah, but you got to realize all sin is an affront to God. What I don't want, and April reminds us in her prayers when we have taught this both times, the gist of it is, don't just think their sin is so bad, but let us look at our own sin and examine it closely and see the and feel the same ugly that you feel toward a Manson or a Nero or abortion. You know, feel the same ugly. Lord, help us to feel the same ugliness. That's what I want you to do to us, Father. Help us to feel that same gnawing in the pit of our stomach, the depth of our spirit concerning our own sin, instead of the spirit of justification or the spirit of rationalization. Yeah. Oh, it ain't that bad because I did it. But help us to see the telephone pole in our own eyes rather than tripping over the speck of sawdust in someone else's eyes. In Jesus' name. And the people of, and everyone that agreed with that prayer said, hear that, Auntie? I heard about five people. Amen. Yes, help us to see it. Help us to see it. We barbecue Adam, and rightfully so. We barbecue Eve, and rightfully so. But realize that we are two sinners. We fell short as well. And when we allow our flesh to rise to the ascendancy, the question is asked of us, why are you so crazy? Why am I so crazy? Because of sin. We still have an unredeemed, lack of a better term, portion, if you will, of our spirit, of our being, flesh, which the Apostle Paul clearly says in Romans 6, I think, that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good. Maybe seven, somewhere in there. Seven, yeah. No good thing. In my flesh dwelleth no good thing. And when you arise, when it arises, you're just as crazy, we're just as crazy as anyone else. Well, they ate of the fruit, sin entered the world. Let's look at what was the result. Look at Romans chapter 3. Romans 3. Because Romans 5:12, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all have sinned. Death is here, sin is here. Now, what is the result? Look at Romans 3, verse 10. Romans 3, verse 10. Everyone have it? Okay. Romans chapter 3, verse 10. Okay. Thank you. As it is written, so as a result, here's the result. None is righteous. No, not one. No one understands. Look at the thinking. No one understands. No one seeks for God. No one understands. So if they don't understand, then what we are understanding is flawed. Our ability to understand is flawed. Our ability to think properly is flawed. Can you see that? When we were born again, he gave us the mind of Christ. Can you see why? Because no one understands. We don't get it. If you're not born again, you can't get it. That's why you got to keep praying for your nephews and your cousins, uncles, aunties, parents, sister, brother. You just got to keep praying for them. And what you are to do is to pray for them and then live right before them. Amen. That's all you can do. Because they're not going to understand you. 1 Corinthians 2, I don't know, 13, somewhere in there says that the things are of God are spiritually discerned. And because their spirit is dead, they cannot understand. So no one understands. No one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. The word worthless means unserviceable and useless. Remember to turn sour as milk. That's what sin did. And what is this referring to? The character of man has turned sour as milk. Oh, well, if that's the case, then you go back to the opening in Timothy. You can see why folks are reckless and brutal and treacherous, lovers of themselves, disobedient, abusive. Why? Because their character has turned sour because of sin. In verse 12, no one does good. That's scary. Not even one. That's really disturbing. No one does good. Not even one. Their throat is an open grave, a standing open grave. They use their tongues to deceive. And by the way, they do that perseveringly. The venom of asps is under their lips. Remember, the asp is an Egyptian cobra whose poison is contained in a pouch underneath their tongue. People speaking venomous words, words that deceive, words that have a stench and an odor. That's what lies and deceit are, stinking words. That's going on all the time, almost by everyone who is not a Christian, and even by some who claim to be a Christian. That's why I said we need to be so discerning. Look how the Lord, the Holy Spirit through the Apostle Paul goes on for a few adjectives and things about words coming out of the mouth. Their throat is a standing open grave. They use their tongues to all that's to deceive. That's words. The venom of asps is under that. That's still talking about words. Their mouth is full of curses and bitterness. All of that. He went on words. The lies, the deceit, the trickery, the chicanery that comes out of, and the damage that comes out of folks' mouths. Sin jacked up the mind, which in turn jacked up the mouth. And it also messed up our actions. Look, their feet are swift to shed blood. I mean, it went right to the ugliness. Just a straight up murder. Then people just murder in a heartbeat. When I was younger, junior high, elementary, there was fist fights. Then a knife. But it wasn't so much the gun per se. Now it's only the gun. My fighting, not too much. They coming out with the gun right off the rip. Stepped in my shoe, pow. Looked at me crazy, pow. Just no swift to shed blood. I mean, they're in a hurry to do it. To murder. So what did sin do? It knocked out the value of a person's life. It became valueless. You catch that? Sin knocked out a person even being valuable. And it happened right away. Because brother killed brother. The first homicide was fratricide. Not just some stranger walking down the street. Maybe he wanted that rock you had in your hand. If I say snow, it wasn't invented yet. But I like your rock. Pow! It was a brother killing a brother. Fratricide. Sin knocked out, remember, it broke our minds, caused not to work right, so now you don't mean anything to me. And so we're swift to shed blood. Verse 16, in their paths are ruin and misery. I guess so. If you look at verse 13, throw an open grave, tongues, they deceive, venom of ass in their lips, mouth full of curses, feet that shed blood. You got all that behind you. I guess in your wake would be ruin and misery. You killing, lying, deceiving. And the way of peace they have not known. I asked that on 2 weeks, three, whatever. Do you know somebody that they just seem to be, just got to move all the time, can never be still, and they're just, their face, they look like 20 years older than they really are, because they just no peace. Yeah, just unsettled, thank you. Just unsettled. Just no peace, no joy, just constantly on the move. And that sorrow and whatever words I'm trying to use is just etched in their face. The way of peace they have not known. Sin took away peace. Before that, Adam and Eve was chilling in the garden with the Lord God Almighty. All they knew was peace. Their whole way was peaceful. Thank God. If I can say it like Sister Rutley, remember Sister Rutley of Atlanta? Thank God that he died on the cross to restore our peace and our joy. The way of peace they have not known, and there is no fear of God, no reverence, no fear, no shaking in their boots or any honor or respect for God before their eyes. You know, that's one of the most dangerous people on the planet. And someone who don't have any fear of God. Because then if they don't fear God, you don't stand a chance. Unless the grace of God keeps them from it. Period. Because people don't have to have a reason to kill you. And I'm not just some. We were going to get jumped on. We were in junior high. I was in junior high. Paul was in like later L. Mark was in early. He was like ninth grade. And I was seventh. Something like that. And Paul was like fifth. And it was 10 guys, I told you this story before, bear with me, but 10 guys just hanging around the corner. And as we came across on this side, they crossed and met us there. And the grace of God stepped in. Because the guy said, this is Emma Jean. My mother's name is Irma Dean. And he said, this is Emma Jean's kids. Thank God for Emma Jean. You hear me, Miss Palmer? Thank God for Emma Jean. He said, this Emma Jean. He said, oh, I know them. It's Emma Jean's kids. Yes. And my man said, we was going to kick y'all, but y'all, we Emma Jean's kids, so we going to give y'all a pass. No reason. Just three guys walking to go visit a friend. And here come, it was 10 guys and the leader happened to know Emma Jean. And so what had happened was, when we walked, and we were walking away, argument ensues and a gun was drawn anyway, because the next guy, I guess maybe who had some say in the leader in the group, started arguing with the leader. And so the next guy said, nah, man, forget that. And he pulls his gun out, but the leader grabbed, and they like this, and we just struck out running. And then two shots went off in the air. Thank God he went off in the air. We were running. When we're talking about swift to shed blood, no fear of God, you don't matter. You just some guy walking down the street. We don't have to have no reason. Sin is not reasonable. Sin isn't rational. Oh, bless the name of the Lord. Talk about getting some understanding. You don't have to. You say, well, that doesn't make sense. But today, let you know, I see why. Yeah, don't have to make sense. There is no fear of God. If there's no fear of God, you don't count. I don't count. I just so care, just so look at you.
Yes.
I don't have to have a reason. We don't know those people. Thank God the leader knew Emma Jean. Thank God for that. But we didn't know them. There was no prior beef. There was no rhyme or reason to do that. that's out doing things. This fits all of this. Feet are swift to shed blood. There's no fear of God before their eyes. Go to verse 21. Skip down to verse 21. But the righteousness of God had been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction. Let's say la and pause and calmly think about that. That's why Sister Melinda got me fired. The Lord got me fired through her when she started mentioning our brothers and sisters of all tongue, tribe, people, and nation.
Yes, Lord.
That's a phenomenal. We were at Pastor Dr. MacArthur's church last Sunday, and as thousands are flooding in, you see they were Indian, they're brown. They're just such an Asian. It's just such a joy to see a slice of heaven at a church that's preaching and teaching the Word of God.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, boy, that brought some serious joy to see that. Hallelujah. Then they got a whole Spanish ministry, so you got a whole Spanish ministry, big church going on at the same exact time. That's powerful to serve the people of God.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes, yes, yes.
But see, that's put back in us when we're born again.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
We now care about people.
Amen.
We now love. We got to learn now because we still struggle with that ugly. And we still feel a certain type of way towards certain people. We still got our prejudices and our partiality. We still are partial. We commit that sin all day long. We struggle. He know. He's saying mess. We're a mess.
Ooh, hallelujah.
We need to really remember that.
Yes.
This, thank you, Lord. This series also need to help us out, not just by people so crazy, but you got the same potential still in you to be just as crazy. Just as sinful. Because you got flesh, I got flesh, and we can get real ugly real quick if we don't keep that bad boy under control. The dark, help me again. Dark guest within. The dark guest within, known as the flesh, is unregenerate. It is disrespectful. It doesn't regard life. It doesn't regard people. It doesn't fear God. Well, I can't nothing. Just bow down to it. Because he said, and realize it, and let's not look down at other people as if we're just so such a much.
Amen.
There is no distinction. I have here in my notes, sin manifests itself in all ethnicities. In every culture. Amongst every tribe. And influences every tongue. Sin manifests itself in every ethnicity, culture, tribe, and tongue. Not only is the white man the devil, the black man the devil, the brown man, the blue man, the yellow man, all are have sin. Look at the next verse, verse 23. For all have sinned. See, there's no distinction. See, we all need the righteousness of God. And if you believe, he said, there's no distinction. I will bring you in. He said, because all have sinned, all ethnicities, all cultures, amongst every tribe and every tongue has sinned. As a matter of fact, go back to verse 9. Go back up to verse 9. Speaking of all have sinned, verse 9, what then? Are we Jews any better off? No, not at all. I love the clarity. He doesn't say no. He said, no, comma, not at all. For we have already charged that all both Jews and Greeks. Who are Greeks? Those who are the heathen, those who are without covenant, those who are sinners. All are under sin. As it is written, none is righteous, no, not one. No one understands, no one seeks for God. We charge that all, Jew and Greek, are under sin. Throw back down to verse 23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. One commentator noted on this, though men differ greatly in the nature and extent of their sinfulness, right? They differ greatly in nature and extent. You may have a sinner who is a good, and this is embarrassing to say, but there are some sinner husbands who are better husbands than Christian husbands. That's disturbing to say, but it's true. But nonetheless, that sinner husband may be a gambler or something. And there's somebody else who's a murderer. So it says, though men differ greatly in the nature and extent of their sinfulness, there's absolutely no differences between the best and the worst of men in the fact that all have sinned. You see that? So listen to that. So no matter how big of sin you have not committed, does not let you off the hook, because you have sinned. That's what it's saying here. Though men differ greatly in the nature and extent of their sinfulness, there is absolutely no difference between the best and worst of men as far as them being a sinner, because all have sinned. That's what we got to remember about ourselves. And that's what Miss April the Lord keep reminding us of. We go out here with our chest puffed out and you wishing that Pastor Harris wouldn't pick April to pray. Y'all pray that prayer. Let's just keep going. Why don't you say amen and leave? No. Amen, Sister April? No. You're going to speak through us and remind us you're no better. Right. And only the grace of God is why you're not that sinner out there still praying for the club. It's only by the grace of God. Amen, Sister April?
Well, thank you. Absolutely.
That's what that reminder is. Before you walk up out of here, let me tell you something. Yeah. You're a sinner saved by grace, and you're still a sinner.
Amen.
Apostle Paul said, I'm the chief. And he's the greatest apostle ever walked behind Jesus, in my opinion, and most folks' opinion. This great apostle said, I'm the chief of sinners. But that's the proper understanding. That's maturity. But you got enough of here, theologians who want it. Well, we'll get into that. No, he's very mature. To understand your sinfulness shows maturity. Because an immature Christian thinks that everybody else's sin is worse than theirs. A mature one understands, hey, my sin is just as ugly, stinky, nasty, and funky as everybody else's sin. I understand that. It takes maturity to understand that. Glory be to God. And so the Lord must choose his daughter to remind us before we walk out these doors. Nope, need to continue to be aware of our own sin and fight it with everything that. Now, Timothy 3:16, we'll fight the good fight of faith. Comes into play. Fight the good fight of faith. Agonizomai. Agonize. To the point of exhaustion. It's a fight. That's why I said the Lord takes pleasure in the death of saints, because they've ceased from their labors.
Hallelujah.
What a beautiful time that is. That's when we can rejoice in the death of a saint, boy. There's no way to be sad. There's no need to be sad. Because this is on in this veil of tears, it's hey, Mahoya Messiah. Excuse me. Woo! Can be a challenge. But we live in a fallen world.
Amen.
We live in a fallen world. And it has affected every tongue, every tribe, every people, and every nation. The Jew and the Greek, the black and the white, the brown and the yellow, affected everyone. All have sinned. There's nobody that can walk around here and quote unquote smell themselves, meaning you start feeling yourself because you thinking you're so such and much. No, He done broke all that down. And not only that, he told us, you know, you got the telephone pole. See, the person doing all the looking got the telephone pole. And you, with the telephone pole, trying to see a speck of sawdust in somebody else's eye. Yeah, Jesus barbecues us, and rightly so. He understands our nature. We always want to justify ourselves. That's what got that lawyer in trouble when they were trying to trick Jesus concerning the Good Samaritan. Oh, and who is my neighbor? Word of God says, and this lawyer willing to justify himself. That's like how Jesus really shut him down. He ain't like it. So pride bristled up. And so he was willing to justify him. Well, who is my neighbor? And then Jesus said, you want to go there? You knucklehead, I made your brain to think. I'm finna barbecue you and give you something you ain't going to like at all. Because they hate it. Hold on. They hate it, the Samaritan. They hated them. Hated them. And in that story, you know the story. He let the Samaritan be the hero. And the word of God says, excuse my King James. And they durst not ask him any questions any further. That was the last question. They durst not. Woo! They durst not. He shut it down. You want to go there? See, Jesus was he was a logical, rational thinking person. I told you I didn't go to seminary traditionally, but I went supernaturally. God, I went to God's seminary, and He chose my professors. Did I ever tell you that? Yeah. And one of them was R.C. Sproul. And Dr. Robert Charles Sproul was big on logic and rationality and reason. I learned that from him. I learned about thinking from Albert Moeller. He has a thing called thinking something or other. Let me tell you something. God Almighty knows us like never before. Let Him teach you about you. Don't go to fight, but I ain't that, ain't that bad. Don't just shut up. Just let Him, He created you. He knows what you're like. So let Him teach you about you. You're touching this area. Let that go. Why you hold on to that? You got pride in that area. You're doing too much. I mean, the Lord is constantly coaching me. Why did you answer that way? Why does that bother you so? He's constantly asking me and teaching me and showing me myself. Yeah. And you know what? When you, as you're grown, you don't like it. As you grow in Christ Jesus, your ugly becomes more ugly to you. Amen. Somebody ought to say amen. Amen. And if you can't say amen, say, oh, me. Oh, we. Thank you, Jesus. It gets so ugly. The more mature you get, the more you hate your sin. You hate sinful thoughts. I was thinking something crazy. I'm just going to be real with you. I was thinking something crazy. And it seemed like right as I was thinking that, I felt like I was about to have a heart attack. That's really good. That's good. I didn't tell Rolandi. Telling you now. Because I was talking about the thing to the hospital. We was in California. I got up and I got scared. Because the stock can get numb on this side. I closed the bathroom door. I didn't want to hear me trying to breathe it out. And but I'm stretching my arm. I said, well, I don't know how far the hospital is from here. I gotta wake my baby up. And immediately, Lord said, yep, you thinking, I don't what you thinking you won't vote thinking. I said, I repent of that. He didn't take it off either. It took about 2 hours before that got right. Not only that, they developed a sharp pain in the left side of the scapula, that move right there. In there where I could only do this, I couldn't look down. That lasts about 2 days. I just thanked Him. I was so happy. Thank you for the whipping.
Yes, Lord.
Because it reminded me of Hebrews. The Lord loves. He chose, help me. Say it. Yeah, who He loves. That scourge every Sunday. I like, thank you. I love the beat down. Because I want instantly to be, nope, that ain't right. And you, when you get that stirring of a whipping immediately, you're like, you'll never think that again. I'm glad. I'm grateful. I was telling that to my nephew. He said, man, I sure want that. So like, it's just cheating. Like, me and God are closer than most people. I don't know. Like it's just cheating. Because we real cool. I have a real relationship with him, and I'm so glad. It's almost like cheating. Because I try to do stuff like that. I know they think they just getting away with stuff. That he beating the snot out of me, excuse me, but he's beating the crap out of me. And I'm so thankful. It just makes you closer. You don't spend days and weeks and months going off the path, and then you got to come all the way back to it. It's like, that thought happened, and it's okay. It came in a heart attack. Whatever the symptoms were. Thank you, Jesus. I want to stay right in his arms, in his presence, and be right about that. But it does feel like cheating because of how he started the church. You know, there was no earthly help. There was only him and me. This is where you start. It's what you do. And the reason, I think, one of the things that he didn't put me under and has not yet put me under any sort of major body or anyone else is because we do things, it's kind of different here in the sense of we don't have a per se Mother's Day message, or we don't have a, you know, we tried to do that. I don't know if you remember, Ms. Palmer, the Lord spoke through you to me. He said, Pastor, why are you trying to force it? I don't remember the exact word, but that was the issue. That was the gist of it. Why are you trying to force a Mother's Day message, this message? She said, you said, you know. So who are you going to talk to that? Well, you know, sir, you got to have a Mother's Day service, you got to have a Father's Day, you got to have this. Sir. But that's not what the Lord said. Who's going to sit in and don't have praise and worship for 2 months, for 2 years rather, because he said, you don't know me. So we did a Word of Life. Sit down. Don't come in here trying to praise me. You don't know me. Who would have did that? And so we came in for 2 years. We opened up with prayer, sat down, or broke the word open for 2 years. He taught us some things to get us to begin to begin to know who this God is. And after 2 years, then he said, go ahead, open up praise and worship. That's not going to be accepted by somebody over here. Jesus, I remember one person at a very big church said, now make sure you join the ministerial organization. Now you got to have a covering, somebody to cover you. See, that's the tradition. I thought to myself, I remember casting out the pearl before swine. I'm not going to go argue with him. We're in the dentist's office. We're in the dentist's office, so I'm not going to just, hey, all right. I think to myself, no, Jesus, aren't you my covering? Aren't you my protector, provider, and guide? Didn't you say in Psalm 118:6, the Lord is on my side? Psalm 22, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack. He makes me lie down, not some minister organization. I will dwell in the secret place of the Most High, by the shadow of the Almighty, not some covering. But I knew then, I was like in year one or two, about 20 years ago, and I'm thinking, you know, I got to be quiet. I'm not going to say too much to folks about this ministry. Because there's a lot of tradition in ministries. Remember in Revelation 3, I think it was, Jesus standing outside the door knocking. That's on the church. That's not the heart of the center. Neil taught you that. It's not the center he's knocking on to get in, to let me in. The church had kicked him out. The church had kicked out Jesus. He's knocking on the door. Behold, I stand at the door now. And you can see that now, clearer than ever before. That was way back, many, many years ago that was written, 1,000 years ago. And yet they've kicked Jesus out. All because of an agenda. It's what we want to do. Sin has affected our mind. When we sinned, when sin hit the world, it affected our mind. The mind, the will, the emotion, the intellect, the ability for intent, thought processes, the understanding. It affected all of that. We'll pick up right there. When sin hit, specifically hit the mind. Lord, help us understand that. Help us understand the import of that. Meaning we shouldn't just comfortably just think, but be very discerning in our thoughts. Be very discerning of our thoughts and what external stimuli and circumstances and situations affect our thinking, our thoughts, our understanding, and bring it up under the power of the Word of God. Help us to check every thought. And our Holy Ghost police will arrest thoughts and remove them out of our mind that are not in line with the Word of God. And nurture thoughts that are in line with the Word of God. And cause us to walk a closer walk with you. A closer walk. Just a closer walk with thee. As the old hymn says, grant it, Jesus, if you please.
Yes, Lord.
Help us to walk closer to you. The old kind of rock song in the 70s says that the song says, to see thee more clearly, love thee more dearly, follow thee more nearly, day by day. Help us to do that. To see thee more clearly, love thee more dearly, and follow thee more nearly. And help us to do that day by day by day by day. In Jesus' name, and the people of God said, amen.